Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden issues another warning on climate change.
California voters head to the polls to select a governor.
Boston prepares to pick its top two candidates for mayor.
Plus, the founder of Litecoin speaks out on yesterday's fake report.
And Hurricane Nicholas brings torrential rainfall and flooding concerns to the Gulf of Mexico just days after the wreckage of Hurricane Ida.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. A walk-off win for the Yankees, a shutout loss for the Mets, and in Monday Night Football, the Raiders beat the Ravens in overtime.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are little changed. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are now up a point. Dow futures are down a point, so both little changed. And NASDAQ futures are down 10. The DAX in Germany is little changed as well. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.33%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil moving higher this morning, up 0.5% or 38 cents at $70.83 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.33%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. First, we start on the West Coast, where President Biden toured damage from this summer's wildfires and warned that climate change is supercharging natural disasters across the country.
Extreme weather in the United States cost the United States of America a total of $99 billion. And this year, unfortunately, we're going to break that record. It's a devastating loss to our economy and for so many communities.
The president also used his West Coast trip to throw his support behind Gavin Newsom. The California governor faces a recall election today that pits him against several Republicans, including Larry Elder.
The decision you're about to make, isn't this going to have a huge impact on California? It's going to reverberate around the nation and, quite frankly, not a joke, around the world.
Voters head to the polls today to make that crucial decision in the Golden State. Ed Baxter has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The big guns, including President Biden and former President Obama and Arnold Schwarzenegger, have had their say, and the candidates theirs as well. Larry Elder.
One of the first things I'm going to do is repeal the requirement for state workers that they have to be tested once a week and they have to wear masks at work.
And Governor Gavin Newsom saying Elder wants to take the state backward in a number of different areas.
He actually wants to double an increase, more offshore oil drilling, more fracking. He lives in a completely different world.
Newsom is leading by a good margin in the latest polling, but knowing whether those people have or will vote is the key. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Voters also head to the polls in Boston today in a primary election for the next mayor. The outcome is likely to be historic in a city that has always been led by white men. David Paleologos is a pollster at Suffolk University.
It's pretty much fixed at Michelle Wu alone, top tier, and the other three candidates, Anissa Sabi George, Andrea Kimball, and acting mayor Kim Janey, all bunched up in that second tier. You have to believe that two of the four finalists will be women and women of color, you know, and it's going to be a huge story.
David Paleologos says Michelle Wu is currently leading the pack. Today's primary election will result in two finalists selected to face off in November. Our Boston listeners can catch live coverage of the vote tonight starting at 8 p.m. on Bloomberg 1061.
All right, Karen, let's turn to national politics now. House Democrats are looking to undo the cap on state and local tax deductions that was enacted under former President Trump. So far, they've announced no concrete plans. Republican Congressman French Hill of Arkansas says that's because Democrats are divided on the issue.
What the Democrats are doing is splitting their own votes on this tax proposal. New York, New Jersey, California, they want that cap lifted. The rest of the states are somewhere in the middle on it. They don't feel as strongly.
Congressman French Hill spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Turning to business news now, the labor shortage appears to be getting worse for companies all across the globe. That's the finding of a new survey covering 45,000 employers from 43 countries. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The survey by Manpower Group shows 69% of employers having difficulty filling roles. That's a 15-year high. And at the same time, 15 countries focused in Europe and North America report their strongest hiring intentions since the survey began in 1962. Meantime, about 40% say they offer training and skills development to attract and retain talent. A similar share offers flexible work schedules, and nearly a third are increasing wages. Others are offering signing bonuses and more vacation time. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. We're learning more about yesterday's bogus announcement that Walmart will start accepting cryptocurrency. Litecoin surged more than 30% after the Litecoin Foundation mistakenly retweeted the fake report. We discussed the mishap with Charlie Lee, creator of Litecoin and managing director of the foundation.
With Litecoin, a decentralized cryptocurrency, anyone can really start supporting it and accepting it without talking to me or without going through the Litecoin Foundation. So what happened was this news got released by Global Newswire and Reuters, and one of our social media guys saw it and thought it was true.
And since he thought it was true, that employee retweeted the news. Going forward, Litecoin creator Charlie Lee says the company will work harder to stop phony news from spreading.
Coming up today on Wall Street, it's all about inflation data. We get the August reading for consumer prices, and economists expect a gain of around 0.4%. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
In July, the CPI rose 0.5%, the smallest increase since February. Supply shortages coming out of the pandemic have been an issue. But Bloomberg Economics says it looks like the bulk of the recent run-up has passed. The impact of hurricane damage and continued chip shortages bear watching. Year over year, U.S. inflation will probably run at 5% or higher. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. S&P futures now are up almost 3 points. Dow futures up 16. NASDAQ futures have turned lower now. They're down 3 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, let's take a look now at what else is going on in New York and around the world. Hurricane Nicholas has made landfall in Texas. It's threatening to unleash flooding all along the Gulf Coast, an area that's still recovering from Hurricane Ida just 2 weeks ago. This man is weathering the storm in Galveston, Texas.
The weather's kind of rough. I wouldn't advise anybody to get out in it. There are a couple of them, the roofs are coming off. There's a lot of debris flying around.
And Nicholas hit the Gulf as a hurricane. It has since weakened to tropical storm status. It is the 8th tropical cyclone to hit the U.S. this year. Meantime, parts of New Jersey saw heavy rain and winds overnight, leading to damage in some isolated areas. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has more. Rob?
Nathan, we have a stalled frontal system this morning that lies just south of the tri-state area. That's why the showers and thunderstorms rolled through the region overnight, and some of them were severe in New Jersey. I've seen several reports of wind gusts to 60, 65, and even 65 to 70 miles an hour. That's why we're hearing reports of downed trees, downed power lines in New Jersey, and there's still a cluster of storms to come through. We'll be keeping an eye on those this morning. They should be out of here by about 9 o'clock. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. We'll keep you updated, of course, on those upcoming storms as they develop throughout the morning. Yesterday was a milestone for New York City. For the first time since the start of the pandemic, the city's public school students returned to classes. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city has implemented a, quote, gold standard of health and safety measures.
First day of school, also first day that the key to NYC will be implemented fully and enforced at indoor dining, entertainment, fitness.
That key to NYC pass requires that patrons prove they've received at least one COVID dose to enter local establishments. And in another sign of a return to normal, de Blasio attended last night's star-studded Met Gala.
This is a really important day in our comeback, and I wanted to celebrate it.
De Blasio was one of several notable names at the event. New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was there in a white dress with bright letters on the back reading, Tax the Rich. Ocasio-Cortez attended with fellow New York Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney. Her dress read, Equal Rights for Women.
How do we show up as two working class women of color at the Met Gala? And we said, if we're going to do it, then we have to send a message.
The Met Gala is a $35,000 event. It was canceled last year due to the pandemic. It's now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stansharon.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Didn't seem like a big game for the Yankees. A Monday afternoon makeup with the Twins. Hardly any fans in the stadium, but it was a big game. They all are now for the Yankees. They fight to make the playoffs. The Twins with two-run homers in the first inning. Solo shot in the third. Led 5-0, but didn't score again. Aaron Judge tied the game with a three-run homer, eighth inning. Gary Sanchez won at 6-5 with an RBI hit in the 10th. Red Sox lost in Seattle. Toronto beat Tampa Bay. Red Hot Blue Jays, winners of 14 of the last 15, have gone from fourth place up to second, and they have the lead for the first wild card with the Yankees and Red Sox in a virtual tie for the second spot. Yanks have Garrett Cole on the mound tonight in Baltimore. Mets bats were quiet against 40-year-old Adam Wainwright. St. Louis won 7-0. The Mets fall back under 500. Wild Monday night, our first game with fans in Las Vegas, and three times in the fourth quarter, the Raiders tied things up with Baltimore, and then they celebrated an apparent game-winning touchdown in overtime, but replay put it at the one-yard line, and Derek Carr got intercepted. But then Lamar Jackson fumbled, and the Raiders cashed in.
Renfro is to his left, and Zay Jones.
Here they come. And here they come.
Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown! This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over.
Brent Musburger with Raiders Radio. The Vegas won 33-27. Jets have lost a key player. Left tackle Mekhi Becton dislocated kneecap, out 4 to 6 weeks. When the Giants visit Washington Thursday, Tyler Heinicke will be the Washington quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick has an injured hip. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures right now up 4 points. Dow futures up 24. NASDAQ futures have turned little changed. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. The CAC in Paris down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury is down 3/32. The yield is 1.33%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude up 0.8% or 56 cents at $71.01 a barrel. Of West Texas Intermediate. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. It'll turn partly sunny today with highs in the upper 70s. Mix of sun and clouds. Warmer, more humid tomorrow. Upper 80s. Scattered showers and storms. High near 80 on Thursday. Currently 70 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are higher now this morning. S&P futures up about 6 points, Dow futures up 40, NASDAQ futures up 7, and the 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 1.33%. We're coming up to 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg Crypto Update. It's brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions, just 12 to 18 basis points, and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with the latest crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger. Jeff.
Good morning, Karen. We're learning more about yesterday's bogus announcement that Walmart will start accepting cryptocurrency. Litecoin surged more than 30% after the Litecoin Foundation mistakenly retweeted the fake report. The organization's founder tells us that one of their social media employees sent the tweet because he didn't realize it was false. Electricity usage for Bitcoin mining this year has already passed last year's total. By the end of this year, it looks like Bitcoin mining could use as much electricity as all of Pakistan. As the price of Bitcoin increases, more miners with less energy-efficient machines are joining the network, and that drives up energy use. And MicroStrategy is buying more Bitcoin. CEO Michael Saylor says the company bought a little over 5,000 tokens yesterday for more than $242 million. The firm now holds more than 114,000 Bitcoins. In New York, I'm Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Renita Young with more on what's going on around the world. Renita.
Karen, President Biden is warning that climate change is supercharging natural disasters across the country. The president toured damage on the West Coast from recent wildfires. He also hit the campaign trail for California Governor Gavin Newsom, who faces a recall election today against several Republicans, including Larry Elder. Hurricane Nicholas has made landfall in Texas, bringing torrential rainfall that threatens to unleash flooding in Houston and parts of Louisiana. Nicholas was upgraded from a tropical storm just hours before making landfall. With winds around 75 miles per hour, it's the eighth tropical cyclone to hit the U.S. this year. And in sports last night, the Raiders beat the Ravens in overtime on Monday Night Football. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Twins. The Mets lost to St. Louis. The Nationals fell to the Marlins. The Giants beat the Padres. And the Red Sox lost to Seattle. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Renita Young, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Okay, Renita, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on yesterday's Walmart Litecoin mishap. Charlie Lee, the creator of Litecoin and managing director of the Litecoin Foundation, which mistakenly retweeted that fake report, he spoke late yesterday with Bloomberg's Emily Chang.
The thing is, with Litecoin, a decentralized cryptocurrency, anyone can really start supporting it and accepting it without talking to me or without going through the Litecoin Foundation. So what happened was this news got released by Global Newswire and Reuters. And one of our social media guys saw it and thought it was true because it was reported by Reuters. And he retweeted it. And then 15 minutes later, he immediately saw that it was a fake news. So he deleted that tweet.
Now, are there any efforts to make whoever is behind this accountable? Like, if this was a pump and dump effort, can you track who's behind this or somehow track the trader who was involved?
I guess it's possible. I'm sure Global Newswire is in contact with the person who submitted this news report, so they can try to figure out who did it. In terms of us as Litecoin Foundation, there's not much we can do. I mean, people can release fake news for cryptocurrencies all the time. Actually, this happens with traditional stock market also. So it's not just in cryptocurrency.
Global Newswire did come out with a statement saying they're enhancing authentication steps after the fake release. They will work with authorities on a full probe. They say the incident was, quote, isolated, never happened before. You know, Litecoin itself, you know, as you said the release was fake, said the quotes were fabricated, said someone on the social media team got a little too eager when they retweeted this. But Litecoin did pop big time on this quote unquote news, now that we know it's fake news. To those who might suspect someone on your end is responsible, what would you say?
It's definitely not anyone on our end. Litecoin being a decentralized cryptocurrency, pretty much it's anyone can, if they want the price to pump, they can potentially release these fake news. So I mean, I deny it that it has anything to do with us, and we'll try our best to figure out who did it, and we will stop fake news from spreading.
What internal compliance changes are you making as a result?
Well, we realized how powerful our Twitter handle is, right? So we want to make sure that we don't retweet fake news. We want to double check and make sure it goes through some checks before we actually tweet anything. So that's something we definitely have to improve on.
Litecoin is still very volatile generally. How much is it actually used in payments today? What are you doing to encourage future use in payments? And I wonder, is this at all a setback?
Well, Litecoin is used quite a bit for payments. I mean, it's not as popular as Bitcoin per se, but it's used quite a bit. There's tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of merchants. It's hard to know exactly how many merchants support Litecoin. But we do know from on-chain transactions that about $3 billion worth of Litecoin is sent every day. So, of course, not all that is for payments. Some of it is people just moving the Litecoins around or to exchanges. But a lot of that is actually people paying for stuff using the Litecoin network because the transactions are fast and it's cheap and it just works. Litecoin has been around for almost 10 years now. Actually, next month is our 10-year anniversary. So over that span of 10 years, there's over $1 trillion worth of Litecoin sent over the network. So it shows that Litecoin is actually being used and it's pretty popular.
That's Charlie Lee, creator of Litecoin and managing director of the Litecoin Foundation. He spoke with Bloomberg's Emily Chang about yesterday's fake announcement that Walmart will start accepting cryptocurrency. Litecoin surged more than 30% after the fake report. Checking Litecoin right now on the CRYP Go function on the Bloomberg terminal. It is down 1.8% on the session. Checking Bitcoin, it's up 1.5% at 45,876. Going forward, Litecoin creator Charlie Lee says his company will work harder to stop phony news from spreading. S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 36, NASDAQ futures up 2. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Showers and storms ending this morning. It'll turn partly sunny, upper 70s. Mix of sun and clouds, warmer, more humid, upper 80s tomorrow. Scattered storms, highs near 80 Thursday. Currently 70 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning on the West Coast. President Biden toured damage from this summer's wildfires and warned that climate change is causing more natural disasters.
We can't ignore the reality that these wildfires are being supercharged by climate change.
The president also used his West Coast trip to throw his support behind Gavin Newsom. The California governor faces a recall election today. It pits him against several Republicans, including Larry Elder.
Gavin Newsom has had the courage to lead, stand up for science, for the very thing he's been one of the leading governors in the nation, protecting people and vaccinating his state.
Surveys show Governor Newsom well-positioned to keep his job. Democrats are watching to see whether his campaign themes prove successful and can be replicated in the midterms.
Voters also head to the polls in Boston today in a primary election for the next mayor. Surveys show City Councilor Michelle Wu with a strong lead. We spoke with her colleague, City Councilor Michael Flaherty.
Michelle Wu is the clear front runner based on the fact that she's been a citywide city council the longest and has been on ballot citywide the most, and the race is for second.
Today's primary election will pick two finalists to face off in November. Our Boston listeners can catch live coverage of the vote tonight starting at 8 p.m. on Bloomberg 1061.
All right, turning to business news now, Karen. The labor shortage appears to be getting worse for companies all across the globe. That's the finding of a new survey that covers 45,000 employers in 43 countries. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The survey by Manpower Group shows 69% of employers having difficulty filling roles. That's a 15-year high. And at the same time, 15 countries focused in Europe and North America report their strongest hiring intentions since the survey began in 1962. Meantime, about 40% offer training and skills development to attract and retain talent. A similar share offers flexible work schedules, and nearly a third are increasing wages. Others are offering signing bonuses and more vacation time. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Renita, thank you. And we did have this headline cross the Bloomberg: Pfizer shots for over 50s are recommended in a UK booster drive. S&P futures are up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 47. NASDAQ futures up 5. And the 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 1.33%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at what else is going on in New York and around the world now. Hurricane Nicholas made landfall in Texas, bringing torrential rainfall that threatens to unleash flooding in parts of the Gulf Coast. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says his area is still recovering from Hurricane Ida 2 weeks ago.
One of the things that could exacerbate the threat of flooding are all the ditches and catch basins and storm drains and so forth. All these drainage systems that have debris from previous storms that hasn't yet been cleaned up.
This storm could bring as much as 18 inches of rain along the Gulf. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner says his city is expected to see heavy flooding.
What I can assure people in this city is that we are as ready for this storm as we could be for any storm.
Nicholas hit the Gulf as a hurricane. It has since weakened to a tropical storm with winds around 75 miles per hour at landfall. It is the eighth tropical cyclone to hit the U.S. this year. Yesterday was a milestone for New York City. For the first time since the start of the pandemic, all of the city's public school students returned to class in person. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city has implemented a, quote, gold standard of health and safety measures.
What an amazing day this is. This is recovery day. This is the day we have been waiting for. You're going to remember in the history of this city, this day, September 13th, 2021, a day that was a game changer, a difference maker.
And now comes the hard part, keeping the city's infection rate low. Since the start of the school year, about 1,700 schools in 38 states have closed due to COVID. That's according to the Burbio Tracker, which follows school shutdowns. In Washington, the House Judiciary Committee has approved legislation to provide legal status to as many as 8 million undocumented immigrants. Democrats plan to include the measure in their massive tax and spending plan. The proposal would modify provisions in the green card process, make more visas available, and provide a pathway to legal residency for undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. Now at 6:35 on Wall Street, we bring in John Stashar for the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Yankees haven't been winning very often lately, but when they do, it seems Aaron Judge always plays a big role. Eighth inning, two on, and the Yankees down by three.
2-1. Swung on, hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone to tie the game. It's a Judgian blast. He hits a three-run home run over the auxiliary scoreboard in right center, and we are all tied at five.
WFAN on the goal. The Yanks, who trailed Minnesota 5-0, went on to win 6-5 on a Gary Sanchez hit in the 10th inning. They're in Baltimore tonight. They should not be losing to the hapless Orioles, yet they did twice recently. Garrett Cole, back from the hamstring injury, will start tonight. In the wild card chase, it's Toronto now leading the way. Jays beat Tampa Bay 8-1. Vlad Guerrero, his 45th home run. Toronto has scored 52 runs in the last four games. Red Sox lost in Seattle, so the Yanks and Sox in a virtual tie for the second wild card. Mets had only six hits, lost to St. Louis 7-0. Monday Night Football in Las Vegas, the Raiders got a game-tying 55-yard field goal at the end of regulation, took their first lead in overtime. They beat the Ravens 33-27, a game where both teams had turnovers in the overtime. Derek Carr won it with a TD pass. He threw for 435 yards. The Jets, who let Zach Wilson get sacked six times, have now lost left tackle Mekhi Becton for 4 to 6 weeks. Washington's lost quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, so it'll be Tyler Heineke facing the Giants on Thursday. USC fired football coach Clay Helton. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. We're coming up to 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson joins us live this morning, starting off with some disappointing earnings news on the tech side.
Indeed, Nathan. Oracle shares down 2% in early trading. The business software maker's revenue for the fiscal first quarter was lower than analysts' average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. Oracle was hurt by slower sales growth in its Fusion application for managing corporate finances. And speaking of business software, Intuit, up 0.25%. The maker of tax and accounting software agreed to buy email marketing firm MailChimp for cash and stock valued at $12 billion. The deal will unite two providers of services for small businesses.
I see you're following another stock deal involving an overseas business.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Open Door Technologies is down 6%. Japan's SoftBank Group is selling 28 million shares of the online real estate brokerage. The sale represents about a 4.5% stake, and the shares will fetch as much as $483 million based on a proposed price range. Now, SoftBank is Open Door's largest stockholder. Lucid Group down 4%. The electric vehicle developer received the equivalent of a sell rating in new coverage in Morgan Stanley. The firm's 12-month share price estimate is $12, and that's down 40% from yesterday's close. A couple of other analyst calls of note. Dow's up 0.75%. The chemical company received the equivalent of a buy rating in new coverage at Piper Sandler. And KLA's up 1%. The chip equipment maker was raised to the equivalent of buy from neutral at Susquehanna. Now the firm also lowered equipment makers Applied Materials and Lam Research to neutral from its version of buy. Applied Materials down 1% in early trading, and Lam Research off 1.5%. CNH Industrial up 1%. The UK-based equipment maker named Francesco Tanzi as chief financial officer of truck and bus unit Iveco, which it plans to spin off next year. Tanzi is currently the CFO of tire maker Pirelli. And Altimeter Growth, this is one of those blank check companies, up 2%. Singapore-based ride-hailing and delivery service Grab said a takeover by the SPAC is on target for completion this year. Now, Altimeter Growth is higher, even though Grab cut annual forecasts. And I got to mention Apple, Nathan. It's okay. Up 0.25%. Those new models of the iPhone and Apple Watch are due to be introduced at an event later today.
Right.
You know, there's plenty happening at Apple. I mean, you had that court ruling last week in the lawsuit filed by Epic Games over whether they had to use the App Store. Then late yesterday, we find out Apple's having to patch its software in order to deal with a flaw that will allow somebody to get into it without you even having to click.
Yeah, looks like they might be trying to retake control of the narrative in Cupertino. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always. Taking a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, S&P futures are up almost 6 points now. Dow futures up 43, NASDAQ futures up 6 points. I'm going to bring you a little more information on the breaking news Karen brought you just a few minutes ago. A UK panel is now recommending COVID booster shots for people ages 50 and older and other vulnerable groups. It's saying an extra dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is the preferred option. Watching Pfizer shares, they are little changed in the pre-market. Stay with us for more. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, showers and storms ending this morning. It'll turn partly sunny, upper 70s today. Mix of sun and clouds, warm and muggy tomorrow, upper 80s. Scattered showers and storms, high near 80 on Thursday. Currently 70 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning on the rise. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the U.S. futures right now, with Dow futures up 39 points. S&P's gained 6. NASDAQ futures are higher by 5. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.34%. Gold is down 7. Bitcoin is up 1.7%. And Shanghai fell 1.4% overnight. While European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index. After the bell last night, Oracle sales missed estimates, and Intuit bought MailChimp for $12 billion in cash and stock. In other news, Apple is expected to launch its iPhone 13 today. And wrapping things up, Eaton was cut to hold over at HSBC. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Renita Young with more on what's going on around the world. Renita.
Karen, President Biden is warning that climate change is supercharging natural disasters across the country. The president toured damage on the West Coast from recent wildfires. He also hit the campaign trail for California Governor Gavin Newsom, who faces a recall election today against several Republicans, including Larry Elder. Hurricane Nicholas has made landfall in Texas, bringing torrential rainfall that threatens to unleash flooding in Houston and parts of Louisiana. Nicholas was upgraded from a tropical storm just hours before making landfall, and with winds around 75 miles per hour, it's the 8th tropical cyclone to hit the U.S. this year. And in sports last night, the Raiders beat the Ravens in overtime on Monday Night Football. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Twins. The Mets lost to St. Louis. The Nationals fell to the Marlins. The Giants beat the Padres. And the Red Sox lost to Seattle. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Renita Young, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Banning payment for order flow would be a mistake. I'm Nir Kesar, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Payment for order flow has opened investing to everyone by removing trading commissions and therefore allowing anyone with a few dollars to buy and sell stocks and ETFs. The way it works is that brokers can collect fees from market makers that execute trades, which replaces the commissions brokers would otherwise charge. Critics worry, however, that brokers have a conflict of interest, that they'll route trades to market makers that offer the highest fees rather than the best prices for investors. That conflict is undeniable, but it can be managed through disclosure and monitoring. It's no reason to roll back the progress made to open markets to all. I'm Nir Kesar. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Scientists say most people will not need a COVID vaccine booster shot. An all-star panel of scientists say the current vaccines work so well that a third may not be necessary. The review written in the Lancet Medical Journal says governments would be better served to focus on immunizing unvaccinated people around the world and to wait for more data on boosters. Apple unveils a broad range of new products today at a live virtual event in Silicon Valley. We get the details on that from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Holding true to form, Apple has offered no details about the planned announcement, but leaks and rumors are filling the gap. An iPhone update is seen as a given, with four new models expected. They could be called the iPhone 13 or the iPhone 12S. A new Apple Watch is also expected, offering a slightly larger face, among other upgrades. And its AirPods earphones are likely to get their first refresh in about 2 years. They'll come with a new case and have shorter stems than previous models. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And we're learning more about yesterday's bogus announcement that Walmart will start accepting cryptocurrency. Litecoin surged more than 30% after the Litecoin Foundation mistakenly retweeted the fake report. The organization's founder tells us one of their social media employees sent the tweet because he didn't realize it was false. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden urging Californians to send a message by keeping Gavin Newsom as governor, Secretary Blinken defending the Afghan pullout before angry House lawmakers, and Justice Stephen Breyer warning against expanding the Supreme Court. Also making news, President Biden's allies shying from taxing the rich, eroding a promise on inequality. And for more, we're joined live from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, good morning. I'm sure you, like many of us, saw that gown that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from New York, wore at the Met Gala, tax the rich. But apparently that message doesn't go over quite as easily on Capitol Hill.
No, and that really sort of defines kind of what's going on, the big problems that Democrats are working through right now, and the sort of the fact that, you know, when you've got a Big Ten party, you're going to have quite a bit of space between the people on either side. So you did see House Democrats release the full details of their tax plan yesterday, very similar to what Bloomberg reported earlier over the weekend. And you have seen House Democrats take a sort of a smaller approach to what Biden was initially proposing, instead of having a corporate tax rate of 28%, having it at 26.5%, much smaller capital gains tax than was initially discussed. And part of this comes as Democrats sort of try and figure out what they need to do for the upcoming midterms, right? You have seen polling showing that taxing the wealthy and taxing corporations, that is popular with the Democrat base. However, at the same point, if you do start taxing corporations and other entities, you risk having moderate Democrats who could potentially lose their reelection if they are attacked because of these tax increases and tax hikes and what those could potentially mean. You're already starting to see that play out. And so there's definitely a need to strike a balance here. as well as the question about what this will look like going forward. I mean, the House plan, it's a proposal, really, at this point. It's not the final thing. It still has many parts of the process to go through before we get to the actual final bill.
So does this mean it's going to be more difficult for the president to get this kind of transformative change that he's been talking about as he's been selling this massive package to the American people? He's not just been talking about raising taxes on higher earners, but, you know, enacting major social programs in this legislation.
Well, at this point, it seems that Democrats want to make sure that any spending that they put forward in this bill is offset with additional revenue in towards the government. And the main way they're looking to do that is taxes and tax reform. And so it seems at this point that you are still going to see a number of wide-ranging social changes that Democrats are going to push for in this legislation, but they're not going to put as much funding towards some of these programs because they do want it to be offset by taxes. And you know, you're seeing the details of the House plan come together. Remember, they're charging for the September 15th deadline. That's just for committees to get their work into the budget committee, which will then put everything together, come up with the overall bill, and then send it through the process. So once again, still a lot of steps to go here. I wouldn't say that this has limited the scope of what Democrats want to do in terms of social net changes, but it might impact exactly how much funding they can put towards it.
Well, let's talk about President Biden's trip out west. It's been a pretty big agenda for him that he's been trying to carry forward here, not just talking about the effects of climate change, but trying to boost support for Gavin Newsom as he faces this recall election today.
Yes, today Californians will either go to the polls or already went to the polls or mailed in their ballots for the recall election. And Biden was there in California last night, stumping for Gavin Newsom, encouraging people to come out and to vote. But he's also still been promoting both pieces of legislation that are in Congress right now, both that bipartisan infrastructure bill as well as the reconciliation package, which includes a number of provisions to address climate change. And Biden's really been focused on these major wildfires that we've seen out in the West and saying that now is the time that we need to invest in climate change, in infrastructure, in climate change provisions, and saying that for every dollar that is spent now, the government's saving, I think, $6 later down the road in handling some of the damage for this. And this is part of a much bigger push from the president in really getting out there and trying to sell the infrastructure and the reconciliation proposals to the American people, knowing that obviously the more popular these proposals are, the more at ease lawmakers are going to feel passing them and the better chance they have to make it to the finish line.
And we're going to see the president continue that push as he makes his way to Denver later on today, continuing that West Coast swing. We know Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins will be following it, as she always does, very closely. Emily, thanks as always for being with us. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures right now up 3 points. Dow futures up 24. NASDAQ futures back in the red. They are now down 2 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 3/32, yield 1.33%. Bloomberg Surveillance up next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.